What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery, and the blood that shed won't let my sin remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world has never known. And oh, a love, love divine, so divine, true love you'll never find. So that we might live, came and died alone. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory had and sent, gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. He just for me. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love of God. When the Lord of glory, Lord, we have and sent, gave all our power, he did it to us for me. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love God has. When the Lord of glory, yeah, heaven said, just for me, oh, hallelujah, Jesus came and did it just for me, just for me. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus came and did.
when the Lord of glory had been sent, he gave all on Calvary. He did it just for me. Yeah, just for me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me.
Jesus came and did it just for me. Amen. And that love is a reality that even if I was been the only one, or you would have been the only one, that he would have still came and did it just for you. It's so personal. Amen. And I pray, my prayer and our prayer is that we all would be broken to the magnitude and the enormity of that love. Amen. And that's a love you never get to the bottom. You never get to the bottom of that love. Amen. We can live a lifetime getting to the depths and the magnitude and the understanding and the overwhelming of how much Jesus Christ loved us. And those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of Colossians, in the third chapter, we are back here again, still in Colossians. Amen. And if we could start at the 10th verse. Colossians 3:10. Thank God for everybody. First of all, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for everybody. Thank God for our preachers, Reverend Williams and Minister Tober, and you know, they got a day for everything. Brother Day, National Brother Day, National Sister Day. National Aunt and Uncle Day, right? And people be putting pictures on in the internet and everything. And so back in the day, National, what is this, Pastor Appreciation Month? That wasn't so back in the day. But I thank you, and to God be the glory. Amen? And I just want to say to my wife, I love her, and I so much thank God for her. Amen. And all that she does. And I thank God, man, I thank God for our preachers that we have, all of them and their wives. I'm telling you. And to Evangelist Claudia, amen. Thank God for her. Amen. And we love them. We just want to let them know that we love them. Amen. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy." Let me back up. "But Christ is all in all. Put on." Somebody say put on. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." We got to put these things on. "Holy and beloved." We got to put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel or an argument or an awe or a problem with somebody, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Amen. "Teaching in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Amen. And to all these verses, if I could add a verse to it, it would be 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is also the first scripture in your responsive reading, which says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do," whatever it is you do, "do it all to the glory of God." And just the title for today is "That Christ Might Be Glorified." Is that Christ might be glorified. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise your name. God, you're awesome. Your love is too high. Your grace is too rich. God, if we can live a lifetime searching you out, and we will not be able to attain unto it. Oh God, this love. Oh God, that you would give up everything to rescue us and redeem us and save us is mind-blowing. It's past knowledge, and it's past finding out. So, God, we just come, oh, God, that our hearts are broken to what you have to say to us, that, God, unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto application, out of this place, not just in here, but translates and transcends to our everyday living and our everyday life. Whether we go to the supermarket, Whether we go to Pathmark or Giant, God, people will see this transcendent love in us that you will be glorified, magnified, whether it's on our job, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's on the bus, wherever we go, God, it's time out for us to be just pew dwellers, sitting in the pews, but that, Lord, your love might go beyond the reaches, oh God, of the evil and corruption that's in this world, that people will truly see Christ. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all men unto me. God, break my heart right now to the things that you want to say in this place. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 That Christ might be glorified. And I just thank God, man. I thank God for this word. I thank God for the book of Colossians and all that we learn in the book of Colossians going through the study of Colossians. What a blessing. Guess what, y'all? We're not done. First and Second Thessalonians are next. So we're just going to keep going. We're going to have a couple weeks off, let you enjoy your turkey. Let you enjoy your Eagles. Right, Brother Jim? And we will be back after Thanksgiving. Amen. Back in this word in the morning, praying through Thessalonians next. But even in this book of Colossians, amen, we thank God, man. We thank God. And this all started with Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. We talk about it in verse 2 and chapter 2 and over again. We even see it in Galatians. We see it in other areas where Paul was addressing the folks that were grounded to circumcision. They were grounded to works. They were grounded to religion. They were grounded to tradition. Well, this is the way we do it in churches where I grew up. This is the way we do it. And some tradition is okay as long as it's based on the word of God. Amen. But as long as we're grounded and stuck under the elements and the rudiments of these things, and you can even have an emotional service. We can have a high time in here, high time of praise, high time of shouting. Amen. And we say it all the time, the devil loves a hot service. He does. He loves a shouting service. Amen. But God is not looking for just church dwellers. Or pew dwellers, or choir dwellers, or choir singers. What good is it that I can sing and preach and do all these things in here, and the life and the love of Christ is not being manifested outside these four walls? I'm telling you, what the world needs is love. Amen. The world needs, and not just any kind of love, because we hear the songs, what the world needs is love. You know, we see the commercial, right? And that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. Because even that love gets tired after a while. You, somebody kick your back in enough, do some things to you. Guess what? You're going to stop loving them like you should. And you're going to be back to an eye for an eye. You're going to be back to the Sanford and Son, Red Sanford gospel. You kill my cat, I kill your dog. Amen? But the love that we're talking about is this unconditional love. A love that even when we were enemies, a love that even when we were dead wrong in our sin, when we were ignorantly loving to do what's done in the world, we weren't looking for love. Christ died for us. Amen. And we thank God. Amen. We thank God. And we heard it. We just heard it in the prayer of Reverend Williams. Amen. But God, for even when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps, maybe, for a good man will somebody even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the type of Christ that the love needs, that the world needs, that knows no boundaries. Amen. That they will see, man, it's a distinction. Man, it's a mark of just identification to know that, man, this brother I work with or this sister I work with, man, there's something different about them. And the light in you that's either, as we can be a savor of death to some, right, or a savor of life. That means they see something of fulfillment in you. They see an unconditional love in you. Amen. Or do they see a conviction? You know, you just by you living, you ain't got to say nothing to nobody. And that your lifestyle will convict somebody and let them know that they need a savior. And that's the lives that we got to have. Amen. That when we get out of this place, that people will truly see Christ in our lives. And y'all know there's something wrong. There's something wrong if we leave out of here and we just act like the devil. We just act and look like everybody else. Amen. We guess what? The teaching and the preaching and all that, what good is it? If there ain't going to be no change. There must be a change in our hearts. And this is what Paul was getting at. And so when he says in our text here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. And when we talk about this renewed in knowledge, it really means renewed in knowledge. And this word renewed, that renewed in knowing him, renewed in falling in love with him. Amen. Renewed in love, a love relationship. And this word renewed also means revived in knowledge or restored in knowledge or revitalized in the word of God and through prayer. And it's like it's just falling in love with Jesus Christ, because you're not going to die to yourself if you're not in love. Amen. So you're not going to mortify your members upon the earth. You're not going to listen. You're not going to stop fornicating if you're not in love. Listen, you're not going to stop doing the things that the world does if you're not in love. You're not going to stop with your filthy mouth and filthy communication if you're not in love. You're not going to stop inordinate affection and evil concupiscence and covetousness and idolatry and lust and sensuality and sitting up and watching and looking at everything else and looking like everybody else if you're not in love. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains me. And we thus judge that if Christ died for one, we're all dead. So in other words, he was overwhelmed by this awesome love. And it's a love in you that now produces the fruit of Christ. And it produces something we call the can't help us. That you can't help yourself. That I've been changed. I've been rearranged. And the best change that there is a change that I don't have to force it. I got to try. I got to try to stop doing what I'm doing. I get it. Sometimes it's hard. Right? But Joseph didn't have to try. Man, that woman, she had eyes on Joseph. She was throwing, you know, putting some hooves and batting them eyes and them long eyebrows on Joseph. Amen. She tried to put the whammy on Joseph. right? And you don't see where Joseph stood and well, let me think about it. Let me kiss you and hug you. No, it don't say that. It said, Joseph said, feet, don't fail me now. She tried to, listen, the Bible says she grabbed his jacket. And he ran. He said, no. And you know, some brothers would be like, well, man, I got to go back and get my jacket. Let me go back and get my jacket. And she'd have been dangling a jacket. I got your coat. Amen. Looking provocative, right? But he said, no. That's, listen, you are my master's wife. I'm not going back. And I'm telling you what I know. When you are in love with Christ Jesus, it's a demon buster. It's a bondage breaker. It's a chain breaker. It's a chain deliverer. He will loose the shackles. He will loose the handcuffs. And guess what? Man, you won't have to wait around and hem and haw and go back and forth. You will know that I've been changed and I've been rearranged. The love of Christ compels me. It constrains me that the things that I used to do, I ain't got to go back. Been there. Done that. I ain't going back. No more, no more, no more. Because I've been changed. And I've been overwhelmed by this love. And that's why I'm telling every boy, every girl, every young person, young adult, old adult, amen, falling in love with Jesus Christ is the very best thing that you can do. Falling in love. You got to be in love. No wonder why my father used to say, I'm wrapped up, tied up, and what? Tangled up. With that love, because you ain't gonna do it. And that's why we spend so much time talking about this love, that we might fall in love. Amen? And then it goes on to say back in our text, when we have put on that new man, which is renewed in knowledge, that's participle, present participle, right? That means it's a continuation. That doesn't mean that you've been renewed one time and that's it. I got all I need to got. That ain't even good English. And I know all I need to know, I'm saved and that's it. But it's a constant conforming. You're continuing to conform from the old caterpillar. You're no longer crawling on the ground, but now, guess what? You're looking, he's translated us. He's conforming us into the very image of Jesus Christ. Amen. That, listen, and I thank God for Minister Tober. Amen. That use that, man, listen, that don't mean, that's where I'm going. I'm going to look like Jesus. Right? And you might have started back here. And guess what? If you're still back here, something's wrong. Amen. There ought to be a growing, what is it? A growing pattern, likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen? There ought to be, it's renewed day by day where we grow. Right? Listen, and we ought, listen, and I thank God that I wasn't always where I'm at. And we can look back and see where God has brought us from. And somebody said, well, if that had happened to me 10 years ago, we would be singing a different song. This would have turned out different. If y'all had known me 10 years ago, man, listen, I wouldn't have responded that way. And it's okay. We ought to be able to see that. And we ought to be able to say that, not say that, to identify where you used to be, that you could go back. But no, God, thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Man, I would have laid that joker out 10 years ago. I would have, man, look, I would have, Peter, cussed 10 years ago. But my life has been changed and rearranged that I'm no longer the person. Listen, Community Baptist, we've got to grow. There's some things, there's some gossiping spirits that we have to grow from. Some lying spirits that we have to grow from. The bottle, amen, that we have to grow from. Amen. We've got to grow. Amen. And that's where we're growing. And he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Amen. And when he talks about, man, this love, when you're blue, through this renewed knowledge, through this continued love affair and intimacy in Jesus Christ, that I'm now looking more like him. Amen. Amen. And even when we talk about the word renew, which calls we faint not, but though the outward man perish, but the inward man is what? Renewed. How? Day by day. That's the growing pattern of Christ's likeness, right? Also, Romans 12, 2, where he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? How? By the renewing of the mind. And that's an intimate love affair in the word of God that we're no longer poured out into the mold of this world. But instead of looking like the world, we're more looking like Jesus. And these are the verses. This verse 10 has blown my mind because it transcends the Christ in us to being translated into our personal lives. When the Bible says, work out therefore your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That Christ is being worked out into my hands, into my feet, into my mouth, into my eyes. Amen. That I'm more looking like him. Amen. Anybody can say amen. Preach it in the church. But what are we saying out there? Anybody can yell out to the preacher, amen. But how are we living out there? How are we living in front of our wives? How are we living in front of our children? How are we living in front of that mean boss? Are you showing him Jesus Christ? Amen? And so we're being conformed. We're being changed. We're being translated into the image. And what it does is his love lifts you. I'm telling you. Man, his love lifts me above the things that I'm going through. His love lifts me above alts and schisms. And it lifts me. Amen. Over man-made barriers. That's what he's talking about. The Greek and the Jew. The circumcision and versus the uncircumcision. His love lifts me above man-made barriers that divide people. And these barriers, they nourish vices, nourishing division and separation. And that's what was going on in chapter 2. That's what was going on in the Sunday school lesson. Right? They were still teaching, you got to do X, Y, and Z. You need to be circumcised. You need salvation plus circumcision. Amen? But we've got to be lifted above these devices. We've got to be lifted above these things. Amen? That we might, listen, ain't going to be no divisions in heaven. Ain't going to be no black church in heaven. Well, that's the black church section, and that's the white church section. That's the Presbyterian section. See, they quiet over there. That's the Pentecostal section because they loud. Listen, we've got to get beyond. Well, man, I want to be some people that look like us and look like me. Who do you work with? I work with all kinds of people. I work with Indians. I work with white. I work with Native American Indians. This is Native American Indian Month. Amen. Indigenous people. Indigenous people, they still need Jesus. Amen. There's still some hurt in indigenous people that they still can't get over, and they call it the dark side of Thanksgiving. Oh, amen, because they say, amen, ain't, and that's so I told somebody, I said, well, Thanksgiving ain't even about what they say Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is about Jesus. It's about giving him glory and giving him honor. But the love of Christ has to translate and lift us above this division. Because y'all, I'm telling you, division comes from the pit of hell. Separation and alts and people working with people they like, even in the church, and showing partiality and favoritism in the church. Well, I'm going to serve this one and give this person more on their plate and this person less on their plate. That's time out for that in the church. Working on the ministries that you want. Well, man, you know, I'm going to work on this ministry. Then listen, we can't show partiality in the church. Whether he looked like a bum and he got on smelly clothes, he coming in the food pantry, it does not matter. Thank God Christ on the way to the cross didn't show partiality. Well, I'm just dying for the Jewish people. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many that did receive him, to them he gave what? Power to become the sons of God. Red or yellow, black or white, they're all precious in his sight. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus loves you. He loves you. And I'm telling you, like never before, all of us, this love of Jesus, we have the answer. We've got the answer to what this world needs. We've got the answer to what this war overseas, it needs. It's the love of Christ because of hurt that started in a home. And the same hurt. Guess what? And I was thinking, man, I was praying. Y'all know Abraham is the father of the Palestinian nations. And he's also the father of Israel. They both got the same daddy. But they're fighting. Listen, we don't need more nukes. We don't need more parades. We need more of Jesus. And the key is that Christ's life might be lived out in us. There might be a Jewish person or a Muslim or a Palestinian person on your job that needs to see Jesus. But guess what? As long as we're holding stuff in our hearts, guess what? They'll never see Christ in you. He'll never be manifested in you. He'll never be lived out in you if you're not willing to fall in love with him. Love has to lift us up above those barriers. Amen. And then it says, put on therefore. I'm trying to go through right through the scriptures. Amen. Trying to stay here. Put on therefore as the elect God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, still in the text, of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Amen. And we talk about this love that lifts us above division. And we can make that a point. Man, this love has to lift us above division. Amen. Amen. And the higher you're lifted up by that love, the greater you are renewed in knowledge. And these things will become automatic. Man, bowels of mercy will overflow because you're in love with Jesus Christ. Bowels of mercy will just overflow. Man, this word will speak to you. This word of God will get good to you. This word of God will walk with you and talk with you and tell you, you belong. This word of God will tell you that you're loved. And perfect love casts out fear. Amen. I'm telling you, and it'll listen, and the hurt that you experience as a child growing up in a home because of favoritism or whatever it was, whatever your vice was, whatever. Guess what? Man, this love will break down that barrier and will lift you up above it. But as long as we shout on top of the surface, right? And refuse to deal with what with some stuff, some tragedies, some things in our life. Guess what? We'll still live on the surface. And the things in you will never be delivered. You'll never be rooted from. But the greater you're renewed in knowledge, these things will become automatic. Bowels of mercy will be dripping from you. Kindness will be dripping from you. Humbleness of mind will be pouring out of your pores. Just humble, not just thinking about yourself and somebody else, but you'll be thinking about somebody else's need. You'll be meek and you'll be long-suffering. Moses was meek. The Bible says that there was not a more meek person found in that geographical location. On the backside of the Midian Desert, he spent time with Jesus Christ. Paul, after he was converted, 2 years, he went to Arabia and he spent time with Jesus Christ. And that was our theme last month. Spending that intimate time in the closet to get to know him. To get to know him better. So not only will that love of Jesus Christ lift you, put you somewhere else. And man, then when you go back to deal with the situation, you'll be like, man, why was I fretting over this? Why was I worried over this? Why was I struggling over this? Why was I struggling to pick up the phone and call my sister and apologize to her? Man, the love of Christ will just, man, it's like a puppet on a string. Man, you'll be able to pick up that phone and say, sister, I love you. I don't even know what we was arguing about. But will you forgive me? And I forgive you. That's what the world needs to see, y'all. That's what they need to see, this meekness, this kindness. And guess what? Man, the love will lift you above that stuff. Man, and guess what? It translates to your face. You that old mean, bitter, sour face that you got, man, your face will get better. You'll look better. You stop sucking. Amen. Some of them wrinkles might go away. Amen. I'm telling you, man, the love of Christ changes everything. It changes everything. And it don't start on the outside, but it starts on the inside. That somebody will see Jesus Christ. And the second point that I have is the love of Christ is most lived out in me when I'm most satisfied in him. Amen. The love of Christ is most lived out in me when I'm most satisfied in him. Amen. Because when you're satisfied, listen, and I'm not off subject right now. I'm still in the book. I'm still in the text. And I'm most satisfied in Jesus Christ in verse 10 because I'm renewed. I'm growing in this love. I'm growing in this relationship. I'm growing in this knowledge. And it's blowing my mind. And now I'm more satisfied. Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied in him. Man, and when you're satisfied, guess what? You're full. Like the Snickers commercial, it says, you're not yourself when you're hungry. Amen. And I can attest to that. Right? Man gave him a Snickers and he became... Listen, and when you're satisfied in Jesus, your fulfillment is there. Amen? What manner of love is this that you should be called a son? Amen? He validates you. Thank God for Reverend Ruffin. Reverend Ruffin was the one who said, man, when you're satisfied in Jesus and you belong by the Heavenly Father... Your father's the one that helped you get the boat in the water. Your father's the one that helped you put the worm on the hook. Man, the father is the one that picks you up. Man, my grandfather had a hanky. He would pull that hanky out and dry your tears. Listen, and whether your father was in your life or not, you have a heavenly father. And that's what he comes to do. And guess what? We're getting all this out of being renewed in the knowledge. Growing in the grace and in the knowledge and the love affair with Jesus Christ. And he walks with me. And I heard somebody say, anybody see Andy? We're looking for Andy. Went upstairs, couldn't find Andy. Y'all seen Andy? Anybody seen Andy? And the song says, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me that I'm his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. It's a mind-blowing. Your mind can't even ascend or attain to how much he loves you, how much you belong, how much you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are my works and my soul. My soul. My soul. My soul. My soul. My soul knows right well. I'm telling you, I've been changed. I've been rearranged. When you think about the goodness of Jesus and the fact that a holy God would send his only begotten Son, who knew no sin, to become sin, to become enmity, to become a curse, to take my curse, to take my shame, to take my sin. And guess what? You can't get there from here. Listen, your greatest time of praise is not in these pews. But when you get by yourself. Get in that closet. Amen. And so when we think about, man, this love, he goes on to say, after all those things we describe, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. We got to forbear with some people get on your nerves, right? But you got to forbear with them. Deacon Boyce used to say you need some shut up grace. You need some put up with grace. You got to put up with some people. Like, oh, here she come. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. We've got to forbear one another. Listen, and then he says, you've got to forgive one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, how in the world can we see that Christ became sin? Amen. He became a curse for us. He never knew sin, but he became all those things for me. He never knew sin, but he took on sin. He took on a curse. Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. He was made sin. The Bible says that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing our trespasses on us, but he imputed them on his Son. And then the Father turned his own back on his own Son. And it pleased the Father to bruise him. You can't even think of that. You can't even fathom that. It pleased the Father. Imagine your son or your daughter that becomes a curse for somebody else. But it says it pleased the Father to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. And we can't forbear with people? And we can't forgive nobody? And we can't, well, I forgive them, but I won't forget. Right? And some, you know, and I'm telling you, but that's what God did. And we often talk about what Christ went through, but what about what the Father went through? I think it was harder for Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain. I think it was harder for Abraham. Amen. He had to be out of his mind. And that's why this love is an out-of-your-mind love. It's an uncomprehendable, the natural mind, love. But it's a love that passes all understanding. The fact that God went through that, and then he put all those things on his son, and then he executed his son. He was crucified between two thieves for us. He forgave me of everything that I've ever done, past, present, and future. The Bible says in 1 John, I believe chapter 4, herein is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us and made him to be a propitiation, the scapegoat, the lamb for us. And he wasn't the lamb. There was the scapegoat lamb that they would slap and send him off into the wilderness. There was two lambs, and then the lamb that they would slice his neck, that he would bleed and die for us. He was the Lamb of God. So when we go back to forbearing one another, that's why I say you can't get there from here. You've got to be broken to this love of Christ. Then you can forbear. Then you can forgive. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, back in the text, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. Charity is love. Here called the bond of perfectness. Love is the crowning grace, completing the list of virtues required for perfectness and spiritual maturity. As a bond, it binds all other virtues. You can say you can do a whole lot of things, but if you have not love, you need to go somewhere and sit down. Amen? We need love, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about this love. Amen? And it says, though I have gifts of prophecy and understand mystery and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, you can remove mountains. You can speak over people, commit miracles, and all these things, but you have not love, he says, you're nothing. Though I give all my gifts to the poor and give my body to be burned, but I have not love, you have nothing. Listen, love suffers long. Love is envieth not. Love vaunteth itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It is not provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and it endures all things. That's love. Jesus went to Calvary to give his life for you and me. That's love. That's love. And I'm telling you, and I'm almost done. Then he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So when we say that Christ's life is most lived out in us, when I'm most satisfied in him. Man, I seen one time somebody went to get, see, back in the old churches, and I said this last week, we had switches. That, you know, you would see a mother come in there with a grandson. She would have a switch in her hand, right? Switch ain't just a switch, a light switch on the door. Amen? But a switch, man, they would tear us up, amen? In love. And in correction, I said it last week, I said it at the funeral, my mom had a fan, a Bible, and a switch. And she could sit and praise God, and Tracy know it, she would just pinch us or slap us on the legs with that switch. And one day, Mother Mamie Howard, Sister Mamie Howard, she went, man, somebody was getting a whooping that day. She was mad, and I was just happened to be outside, church was going on, and she went to break off a switch. And she couldn't break the switch off. It had rained the night before. And that switch was soaked with the love of Jesus Christ. to spare that child the rod of correction. No. But the switch, she couldn't get it off. She couldn't break it. And then she started tearing. Y'all know how them break. You got to tear it and tear it. And by the time she got it off, it was like a little flappy thing. It wasn't hard at all. I'm like, man, ain't nobody getting a whooping today. But that's how we ought to be, y'all. Listen, and I'm done. Listen, you talk about this war. You talk about people that have been hurt and abused and can hold on to stuff. Man, the love of Christ has to flow through us. That we're unbreakable. Amen. That, don't get me wrong, you're going to end this life. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to go through. But the love of God constraineth us. And we thus judge that if Christ died for one, we are dead, all dead. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And we get so bent out of shape, oh my God, oh my goodness, with some things that we come from because we're not in the closet. But when we know that we're in the closet, then when we know that we're satisfied, then when we know that we're wrapped, that when we know that we're hugged, that when we know that we're anchored in Christ Jesus, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his renewal, his knowledge, his love affair is in the law of the Lord. That means it's in the word of God. That means it's on his knees. That means it's on prayer. And being in love. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We've got to know that we've been wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in this love of Jesus Christ. We've got to know that. And by the time we get through all these verses, guess what? You're not going to forgive. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place. I'm closing the Bible. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. We give place when we hold on to stuff. Or there are things in our life that we still have not let go of. We give place to the devil. And when we give place to the devil, sin begot sin. And we can shout and never deal with what's going on the inside. And all these things will continue to have in our lives. I'm telling you, you'll be saved on the surface, but bound below the surface. And those things in will come out. I know I said I was closing the Bible, but I just opened it back up. Listen, when we give place to the devil, man, guess what? And he says, let him that stole steal no more. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, 27. But guess what? Because I'm going to say the reverse of it. When we give place to the devil, we'll continue stealing. Stealing ain't just physical things. Amen. But we can steal a whole lot of things. We'll give place to corrupt communication. We'll give place to grieving the Holy Spirit. We'll give place to bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil. And then it says in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ sake has forgiven you. And see, and a lot of people think, well, if I don't forgive, man, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, man, people are spiritually constipated. I'm telling you. And guess what? It leads to other sins. So it may have started with unforgiveness. It may have started with hurt in the house, but it leads to other things. It leads to other confusion. You don't have an identity. You don't know who you are. But you can shout on the surface because we give place to him, to the devil. We got to forgive. We got to let some things go. The Bible says the word of God is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh my goodness. Rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. And it could perform spiritual surgery on me. And I'm telling everybody, man, when God shows me the root of what's going on in my life, and he delivers me from it. When Jesus showed the woman at the well, she wanted to do religion. That's why religion is a hot mess. Without Jesus Christ, we're not talking about religion. Man, I'm talking, man, these churches are packed, jam-packed. Everybody's doing this. And there's no root of deliverance. Man, when you take this word and go back to your closet and get intimate with it and let God pinpoint some stuff. If he's got to pinpoint some stuff in the pastor and in the preachers, what do you think he's got to do with all of us? And guess what? You ain't got to go searching for what's going on in your life. You get in this word. You get in a love affair with Jesus Christ. And guess what? Man, those things will root out. He'll bring them to the surface. He'll expose them that you got to deal with it. All from being renewed in knowledge and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place as we stand to our feet. If there's somebody in here and you don't know this love, you can get to know Jesus. You can accept him into your heart. Guess what? Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's looking at you. I'd rather have somebody looking at me than walk up this aisle, right? And then get before God. And he says, I never knew you. John DeMarco just preached an awesome message last week. Could you imagine your mother or your father or your sister, and you get before them, or you come to the house and they said, depart from me. I never knew you. Come on and come. You can come and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Amen. I want to know him. I don't care. Don't worry about who's looking. If you want to know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, you can accept him into your heart. Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? Amen. 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 Is there another? Is there one that would like to come and rededicate their life back to Jesus? If God can pinpoint some things in me, and I'm telling you, man, there's no joy. There's no shout. There's no love. There's no peace in my life. Like when he shows me and I'm delivered from real, for real, for real, through exposure. That's the greatest joy. That's the greatest peace. And in the presence of the Lord is the what? Fullness of joy. And at the right hand, there are pleasures forever. You have not known a peace or joy like this. If there's another, you can come. Amen. Rededication, you can also come. Amen. To rededicate your, you know what you've been doing. Amen. You can also come to rededicate your life. Is there another? Amen.